This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All right, the question is, how crazy is Anthony Scarbucci? Well, he says it's the president who's crazy, but the president put out a video last night saying, nope, I think it's the mooch. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210, the Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Kim Brooks will be here at 820. Her book, Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. One morning, she made a split-second decision to leave her four-year-old son in the car while she ran into a store. What happened next would consume the next several years of her life and spur her to investigate the broader role our current culture of fear plays in parenthood. I do have to say one thing, though. Either way, whether you agree with leaving the kid in the car or not.
Yes.
The kid was ripped out of her mother's arms, and nobody seemed to make a big stink about that fact. Did you notice that?
No, and I...
They only do that at the border. They only do that at the border. Otherwise, if they do it in a parking lot in Target, nobody, they don't care. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's interesting because her. I thought the story was she's on the way to the airport. Somebody videotapes and calls police, but by the time the cops get there or something, she's gone. So they follow up with her later, apparently. And that's when she's charged? I have to
Which
hear
is
her
crazy,
story.
Right? Which is kooky.
Yeah, so that to me is interesting, you know, how... You know, the afterward, I mean, it's not like the kids were in a hot car and you're finding them. So it's a little different.
But. Let me ask you this question, too. What do you think the odds are greater of? Okay, ready? A killer pedophile clown in a parking lot getting hit by a car in the parking lot, then flying upwards and landing on the killer pedophile clown. Or the killer pedophile clown breaking into the locked car, turning off the air conditioning. And killing the kids that way. What do you think the odds are? What's
it's greatest? All more possible than a recession, okay?
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Look, I will not leave my kids alone in the car for a second. And the reason why is not because I'm afraid, because I'm not. It's because of busybodies who are out there with cameras, and I'm a target, and there's no way in hell I'm going to do that because I know what'll happen.
It would go viral.
And I'd have the state of New Jersey crawling up my you-know-what. I'm not going to do it. But that's the problem, right? I was left in the car when I was a kid for about 7 years. Mama Zioli left me in there.
Seven years. You know she's listening.
She abandoned me in the car. she's so worried about my surgery tomorrow. So I'm getting this to deal with my heartburn. I have a hiatal hernia, so they're going to fix that. And next week, we're supposed to go to the beach for the week, right? This is our little vacation, and you know.
Yeah.
And she says, Rich, you're not going to go in the water, are you, with stitches?
Oh, that's right.
Because you get a parasite and die. That's what she told me last night.
Yeah, because of the, what is that amoeba, the flesh-eating bacteria?
Flesh-eating bacteria.
If you've had surgery or you have any wounds.
Right.
You cannot go in the water.
So she said, I'll be careful, baby.
That's See? What she said. She said, if you go in the water, you're going to get a parasite and die.
See, we have to bubble wrap you.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, can I wrap it with plastic all around and around and around so no water gets into it and go in the water?
I don't know.
Plastic wrap, like saran wrap or something?
You should ask the doctors. Maybe they could put like a sealed, I don't know, thing around you.
And I don't want to get the flesh-eating bacteria. That scares me almost as much as the brain-eating amoeba scares me.
Yeah.
So, you know. And it's the Chesapeake Bay where the water is. It's down south, so it's very much like the ocean down there. So it's very salty. But I guess these parasites can live in salt water.
Is yes.
That, right?
Now it can. They've actually had it in the Chesapeake Bay.
See, I would be more worried about the stitch leaking, little blood coming out. And attracting a great white shark coming and attacking me in the bay.
Because we have record numbers of great whites.
But I'd be more worried about a killer pedophile clown riding that great white shark as it comes after me, feeding on the parasite that's growing in my body with the flesh-eating bacteria. The odds of this stuff happening are so incredibly small.
They are.
Come on.
But why?
Why take the chance?
Why tempt the odds?
People used to go in the water all the time with cuts. You know, there was a thing when I was a kid, my mother used to say, if I had a cut, go in the water, the salt water will help. She used to say that. And I grew up at a time in New Jersey when, do you remember this, when they had the garbage barge dump?
Yes,
remember that?
Yes.
And Governor Tom Kane closed all the beaches and ruined my vacation. I was down there that year. I'll never forget this. If you're not from this area, you may not know. So they have these barges, these garbage barges, and they capsized, and all this garbage fell into the ocean off the Jersey Shore, and it all started washing up on the beaches. And this was right in the middle of the AIDS scare. There were hypodermic needles on the beaches. Remember that? So Governor Tom Kane was governor of New Jersey, and he closed the beaches, and I hated the guy for years over this. I hated him. I tell you, when I first met him, I brought this up to him.
I was like, oh, no.
I did. I said,
one.
I've never forgiven you for that, for ruining my vacation, because it was August of that year. We were down at the Jersey Shore, and I couldn't go in the water. It was such a bummer. But that's what I mean. So it's not as if back then the water was so pristine and clean, but the lesson was, if you had a cut, go in the salt water. It'll help you. Didn't you used to hear that, right?
Yeah. Yes, but now what we have, it's not garbage being dumped, it's the raw sewage going in after a rain.
Oh.
So the pipes can't handle it all. So it's literally raw sewage. That's why we've had this summer beaches closed
right.
for a couple days. So the lesson is, don't go in the water if it has just rained.
Just don't go in the water, just it sounds like.
No, if it hasn't rained for like 48 hours, you're usually fine because the ocean churns it away.
You know what I love about crabs in the Chesapeake Bay? Raw sewage. I love that they marinate in that. It's like a beautiful thing. Make a little raw sewage crab dip.
Yeah.
Mmm, delicious. So what do you think I have better odds of? A pedophile killer clown in a parking lot at Target, or a pedophile killer clown amoeba getting into my body and killing me?
Number two.
Number two.
Yes.
I'll or a great white two. Shark eating the parasite amoeba clown. Wait, what? I don't know. But there's got to be a way I can cover up my stitches so I can go in the water.
I think they make big bandages.
Big bandages?
Like, you need a huge bandage. Bridget,
big ass bandage
please,
company.
Yeah, please take a video of him with the big bandage.
Let me tell you about it. See, I think part of the reason why I'm such a rebel when it comes to all this safety stuff is because I'm rebelling against my parents. I think is what it is. I really do. You know what I mean? Because I hear all of the stories that you read about, and I always laugh. I go, come on, the odds of this happening are so small. But I think it's because how I was raised. This is the text message I get from my mother, okay? She writes this. She goes, Rich, is your anniversary the 22nd or the 23rd? And what time is your surgery? It's like, well, these things are not even related. My wedding anniversary and my surgery are not related. I don't
She's
know why.
She's thinking about you.
No, I'm right here, honey.
Aww.
Then she says, are you scared? I said, no. I just wrote back, no, I'm not scared. She writes now, but now she's trying to scare me. So my
true.
Mother goes, are you scared? I write back, no. She writes, well, I am. Surgery is scary, especially when it's my son. But I know you'll be okay. Your brother will watch over you in heaven.
Aww.
I hope you'll be okay for your vacation. If you have stitches, you can't go in the water. You know that, right? So I wrote back, of course I can. She wrote, you're kidding me, right? Before I go into my big speech, please tell me you're kidding, right? I wrote, I will wear tape. She writes, Rich, please listen very carefully. If you go into the water with an open wound or no tape, if there are any parasites in the water, you will get it and develop a horrible disease and die.
Oh, be careful, baby.
Maybe I'll get superpowers.
That's what I'm wondering, right? I'll be sewage man, raw sewage man. I'll have all this power.
It could be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Exactly. I could rise up.
She's a loving mom. She's worried about you. She has one son in heaven. Michael is looking over you. She's worried.
But I'm not scared, right? So instead of making me calm before my surgery, my mother's reaction is, I got to scare my son. Instead
You're
of going
in the pillows too?
Instead of going, you know, look, here's the deal. He's calm. He's relaxed. Not going to raise his blood pressure before he gets surgery. I'm going to scare the living daylights out of him.
Tomorrow's Yoli's going to be a wreck because of these conversations.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm totally calm. And now I woke up this morning. I couldn't sleep last night. And Bridget goes, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. Now suddenly I'm nervous about my surgery. I wasn't, but you know.
The mother's power.
Mother's power.
Yes. Oh, you silly. Are you making a fort?
She's worried.
Well, I'm worried. Don't go in the water. There's sharks in the water and parasites and bacteria. And it's not even, it's like it's a minor procedure. That's the thing. They're putting in these magnets to just keep my flap down, you know,
the
and
flapper.
Correct the hernia. And I'm good. It's really a very minor thing. The problem, though, is that whenever you have a mother like mine, it's nothing, you know. Well, there's all kinds of diseases in the hospital. Is Maz cleaning it?
Maz is on vacation.
Yeah, Maz is on vacation in Montana.
What are you guys doing?
I'm making a Mama's Yoli soundboard as we speak.
I love it. It's great. We're making fun of you. That's what we're doing. But that's kind of like a situation where I think I wind up rebelling against any sense of safety and security in life, you know, because of that. It's the opposite of that. But when I was a kid, my mom, to her credit, used to let me go ride a bicycle to the deli and buy her cigarettes. Can you believe that? Now she'd be in federal prison. Federal prison, Dawn.
She would not be in. Oh, because of your. Yeah, you can't buy cigarettes.
Sending a kid to buy cigarettes for you?
That's true.
I mean, there's no way they'd rip the baby from the arms and everything like this, you know? Let's see now. Some people are saying they're worried if I get MRSA and I lose the show. Yeah, that'd be sad, right?
That would be.
They're also wondering if the flesh eating bacteria can get through the bubble wrap, Dawn. Do you know if it can?
Well, if it's waterproofed with the DuPont waterproof taping, then we'll be fine.
What if I wear a wetsuit or a dry suit or what is that?
That's actually not a bad idea.
That's what I was wondering last night. What if I do that, right?
Just wear a shirt. You'll be fine if you just wear a shirt.
A shirt?
The contaminated amoeba water can get through the shirt.
I think Dawn's right about that. I think
you think that
the amoeba water can get through
100%
that.
100% cotton shirt.
I think that's the secret answer.
Don't go back there.
I won't, Mom. I won't. You could get that and die. You could die. Yes.
I think you're with little kids. Just go up to like your knees in the water.
My son loves to dunk. Patrick loves dunking. He dunks every 2 seconds. Dad, watch me. I'm dunking. I mean, I will do that. It's just that if it's hot out, I'm gonna want to dunk too.
Just splash a little.
And I'm gonna be on the beach and I'm gonna have a just go parasites. I'm coming. I'm coming for you. None of this stuff worries me, by the way. None of it does. I went skydiving when I was in high school. I think I did that as a rebellion against my mother. I really do.
Your mom is going to be a wreck. She's going to be a nervous wreck.
No, I'm right here, honey.
She's making me a nervous wreck.
She's going to be lighting candles and saying prayers. Have the priest come by.
Well, I'll say lots of prayers for you.
She's concerned.
Your brother be looking down from heaven.
You were concerned until your mom put it in your head.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the doctor last week. He's like, this is no big deal. He's nothing to worry about. Now, my mom literally text message. Are you scared? No. Well, I'm scared. And you should be too. Because surgery is very, very, very threatening, life-threatening. You probably won't survive. But if you do, the parasite will kill you on your vacation.
You'll be later on the couch before the end of this.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Like, no, I'm not scared. But I'm going to make you scared. If not of the surgery, then of the recovery room. Or then if not of that, then the car ride home. And then if not of that, your vacation with the parasites. Stop. Amazing. All right. Well, there you go. 855-839-1210.
I'm looking up minor surgery, major risks.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking it up now. You don't have diabetes, do you?
Well, sure. Why not? So. Listen, here's the other thing, too, is that if you go online, you'll find something. You'll find the guy who had a paper cut who died of the flesh-eating bacteria. You'll absolutely find that. 100%, I guarantee it. But, you know, there's something also called your immune system, which fights back against these things if you're a healthy person. What you find out is that the guy who got the paperclip and then had MRSA, it was because he wound up also having, like, you know, liver cancer or something.
Exactly.
So but they leave that at the bottom of the thing.
True.
So basically, you know, my mother's issues that I have, right, and I'm overcoming this by not being afraid. As Johnny points out, Chris Cuomo has daddy issues. It's an Italian thing, is what some people are wondering. Chris Cuomo, the lesser, as I call him, for a long time has had always his father in his ear. Like, I have my mother, Chris Cuomo had his father. So there was always the governor of New York, Mario Cuomo, going, your profession is the lesser profession. It's the lesser profession, journalism. Why don't you go out there and do something with your life that's significant and not be a journalist? And his brother used to say the same thing to him.
Yes.
Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. Well, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, came out and defended his idiot little brother, the lesser, yesterday. Came out and defended him yesterday in the Fredo controversy. I'm going to play that clip in just a second.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you, Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so the so daddy issues and mommy issues are certainly a thing. With Chris Cuomo the lesser, it was certainly his dad, the governor in his ear, who said his profession was the lesser profession. And then his brother, who also said it was the lesser profession. Then he watches as his brother becomes the governor of New York. Somebody calls him Fredo, and he loses his freaking mind and goes crazy, threatening to kill the guy. Oh, he and Don D. Lemon were joking around about this.
They were.
You remember Cuomo threatened to throw a guy down the stairs, right? Break his legs? He and D. Lemon were joking about this on CNN last night. You didn't see this. No one did. Take a listen.
All right, no secret how I spent one particular afternoon on vacation, and there is nothing to add except to say thank you. Thank you to all who reached out in person, who sent messages.
All seven of you. Why don't you just thank him personally? There's seven people. Seven.
And Ms. Maddow. They acted as colleagues, not competitors, and I won't forget it. In fact, I'm not going to forget, and I will use all of the feedback. Because the key is for us
you know,
all-
by the way, you know why Hannity and Maddow did not act like competitors? Let me explain why. In order to be a competitor, you have to compete with somebody. All right? So Hannity's number one, Maddow's number two, you're number 16. Not exactly a competition. All right? Just pointing that out. That's why they didn't respond as competitors. Because they were like, oh, the idiot?
Harmless.
Harmless. No, no, no. What would have been a competitor would have been if the people over at the Food Network stuck up for you, or Animal Planet, because that's who you're actually competing with in the ratings. 16, 15, 17, respectively. All right.
I appreciate it. That includes Mr. Hannity and Ms. Maddow. They acted as colleagues, not competitors, and I won't forget it. In fact, I'm not going to forget, and I will use all of the feedback. Because the key is for us to all be better, and that starts with me. So let me do what we do best here and expose an ugly reality. Here's the argument. Republicans have been intentionally downplaying white supremacy, that it is literally part of their playbook.
I would say I missed you, but I think I saw you more last week than I see you when we're actually...
It's actually a great point by Don Lemon. The first good point he's ever had. More people watched Chris Cuomo in that idiotic video than watch him on Cuomo Prime Time. You realize that? Way more people saw the lesser in that video clip than they ever do on CNN. So Don Lemon is actually right for the first time. That and the fact that the plane was in the black hole, yes. But other than that, totally right. I think I saw you more. Everybody did, Don. Everybody did. Amazing.
You would think that Cuomo would try and capitalize on the fact that everybody was watching that video and come back from vacation early, but
no, instead he had to finish his vacation. He needed a mental break.
It'll still be here.
It'll still be hot when I get back.
I would say I missed you, but I think I saw you more last week than I see you when we're actually here together. I spent like every other day, if not every day, with you.
Yes.
It's kind of weird.
I had a very eventful week. I think that the only time I wasn't with you, I really should have been with you. I would have been in a lot better position right
Actually,
now.
I was there, but did not see it, remember?
good time
I should have
not
been,
to see.
I should have been there.
So the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, defended his idiot little brother in the Fredo controversy. Cut five.
Okay, now everybody wants me to ask you, obviously, and I'm going to do it right now, about the Fredo comment. First of all, your father used to tell me that he didn't see The Godfather. Have you seen it?
I have seen parts of it. He would not watch it. The Fredo comment, Angelo Vivolo, who's head of the Columbus Citizens Foundation, which is the society in New York State that represents Italian Americans, wrote a letter, I think, to Casey Siler at the Times Union for a column that he wrote on it, which was really ignorant and insensitive.
You mean Casey Siler's piece was ignorant?
Yes.
And insensitive.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Yeah. In praise of Fredo Corleone. How obnoxious. My father wouldn't watch The Godfather. And then he talks about my father as an Italian-American scholar. My father wouldn't watch the movie because it was anti-Italian. The stereotype is anti-Italian. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, in The Godfather, who are you? Which one are you? Which character are you? You know, the power of these movies. I had a battle with The Sopranos, which again was the same stereotype over and over and over, the Italian thug, the Italian mafia.
Let's stop it right now, by the way. This is also courtesy of WAMC's Alan Chartok show. First of all, nobody really thinks Italians are all the mafia. All right. This is another thing that they do to try to get people to suppress their speech. Nobody really thinks people are in the mafia. Nobody thinks every Italian is in the mafia. Nobody thinks that. All right. I'm Italian. Trust me on this point. Number two. You're the governor of New York. It's not exactly like Italians are having a really tough time in this country where they can't become the governor of New York. Your dad was the governor of New York. Your idiot little brother is on CNN as a national cable guy that nobody watches. Let's stop acting like Italians are this oppressed minority. And nobody called him Fredo because they were trying to make a reference that he's in the mafia. He's way too stupid for the mafia. You know it and I know it. Way too stupid. Nobody called him Fredo because of that. They called him Fredo because Fredo is a character in culture of an idiot lesser brother. That's why they called him that. Nothing to do with the mafia. And don't you love how they try to spin this now to say that it's about the mafia? These people...
You can act like a man!
They're such freaking snowflakes! Stop it! I get so tired of that. You know, I've taken issue about this with Italian-American groups, too, who are trying to boycott The Sopranos. Why? You can have a show about the mafia. You can have a movie about the mafia. It doesn't mean that people think every Italian is a mafia, is a mafioso. And if they do think that, that's on them, man. Who cares? Oh, it's just beyond silly. And of course, instead of addressing the problem, of addressing the point that his brother lost his mind, acted like a jackass, he starts making it about racism and ethnic slurs and everything else. You see? And this is what they do. This is what they do. They take a harmless remark and they turn it into something. They go right to 10 with a level 10 nuclear event of ethnicity and ethnic stereotypes and the mafia and on and on. Come on. Come on. And he's we're supposed to believe he watches no movies about Italians who are like that. And you know what's amazing? This guy Cuomo, he signs one of this guy's so left, right? He signs this abortion bill in his state that basically is like it's like the most liberal abortion bill in the country now, pretty much like right up until the end of the pregnancy, or even maybe even after. And nobody cares. Nobody gets outraged over that. But this Fredo thing, and then Mr. You know, he comes on TV and he starts doing his nonsense about how he's all self-righteous. Don't you make jokes about Italian Americans? Don't you make mob jokes about Italian Americans? Stop. You have the ultimate family business. You know, beyond the mafia. How about this? How about beyond the family business is the political business, right? Way more powerful than the mob is the Cuomo family business, which I'm not suggesting is the mafia. It's a political family. How about all the other political families that don't end in vowels? Well, like Clinton's, for example. I mean, how about the Clinton family? How many years they've run this country, or the Bushes? I mean, it's actually fascinating if you think about it, the deflection that's able to be done here. Nobody's talking about the fact that they think the Cuomos are in the mafia, although there was a very, very funny Saturday Night Live joke about that years ago. It was during 1991, I think it was. It was during the Gulf War when it was all the Democrats who did not want to be the Democrat to lose to George H.W. Bush. And it was a very funny bit. Kiefer Sutherland played somebody, Lloyd Benson, I think it was, who said, "Let's face it, I'm old." It was all these Democrats just trying to talk themselves into not being the one to lose to Bush, why they shouldn't be the nominee. And the guy who played Mario Cuomo, his line was, "I have mob ties." It was hysterical. But you can't make jokes. Can't make jokes. Now, the reason why the Fredo joke is funny is because the family, it's not that the Cuomos are the mafia, but they are one of the most powerful families in the history of this country. There's a bridge named after the guy that his son named after him. But you see what they do. They deflect it and they make it their victims. And now Italians are victims. And we're all labeled as being in the mafia. And blah, blah, blah. No, stop it. I'm a Zioli. All right. I know what I'm talking about here. Give me a break. It's the ultimate distraction.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
All right. 855-839-1210 is our number. So the president, speaking of another crazy Italian, Anthony Scarmucci, the Mooch, who also has major daddy issues, in my opinion. Major daddy issues. He has been coming out against the president, hammering the president lately. He used to work for him, obviously, for 11 whole days. So Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, came out and said now the president is losing his mind and he's going to mount a coup against him, basically, of former cabinet members. Let's start now with cut six.
The Republicans really have to wake up to this. You know, some of them said to me over the weekend, well, what are my alternatives? If we can't have Elizabeth Warren, they'll cut the stock market in half. Capital investment will completely dry up. Well, no, you can't have Elizabeth Warren if you remove Donald Trump, because if you get a viable candidate, and this is what I've said to people that are thinking about running in 2024, the time is now. What are you going to do in 2024? You're going to say that you stood by with no courage to act. You know that the situation is unstable. You know that the president is off his rocker. What are you going to say in 2024? Well, I knew that, but, you know, I didn't want to hurt my political prospects in the future, yeah. So I kept my mouth shut. And now I'm here in 2024. You have to operate in an environment like this without fear, Alice.
All right. Then Scaramucci said it's time for the former cabinet members to rise up and rebuke him.
I'm a very organized guy. And I know how to delegate. I'm in the process of putting together a team of people that feel the exact same way that I do. This is not a never Trump situation. This is not just screeching rhetoric. This is okay. The guy's unstable. Everyone inside knows it. Everyone outside knows it. Let's see if we can find a viable alternative. Moreover, I've got to get some of these former cabinet officials in unity to speak up about it. They know it's a crisis. You know, it goes back to things like the Kane Mutiny court martial. If you read that book, everyone was nervous on the boat, but it was a fitness to serve question, and it became your patriotic duty to speak out. So this is not
a
never Trump sort of thing. This is an organized process. Okay, well, again, it would not be fair for me to bring up their names right now.
But
I will predict that in the middle to late fall, there will be a trove of people that will come together in unity and say, okay, look, this is what's going on. This is how the person's acting. This is why there's nobody inside the White House that he's taking any advice from. This is what you got to do. If you want 5 more years of somebody operating at the top of the government all alone, that's up to the United States and the voters to decide that. But at least people that are in the know have to express that to give the voters that information.
All right. So that's the Mooch. Now, the president responded to that on Twitter, as he often does, put together a little video. This is all of Anthony Scaramucci from what seems like just oh so long ago.
We won the love of the president, and I'm very, very loyal to the president. We won the presidency because of Donald J. Trump. He is an unbelievable politician.
If he cared what people said about him, there's no way he would be president.
I love the president, and I think a lot of you guys know in the media, I've been very, very loyal to him. I've seen him in operation over the last 20 plus years. The president has really good karma, okay? And the world turns back to him.
I'm still on his team. I support his agenda. I think he's doing a great job for the country.
I love the president. The president's phenomenal with the press, okay? And he's a great communicator.
The president has this unbelievable economic story. Disposable income is up for middle-class families. Wages are up. The former administration said we would never grow at 3% again.
He's genuinely a wonderful human being. I love the president.
I'm not going to be disloyal to the president. I'm not disloyal, not disloyal, not disloyal, not disloyal to the president.
All right, and there you go. That's the Mooch. 855-839-1210, the Zioli Show. Glad you're here today. Happy Tuesday. 8:03-ish. Good morning, Dawn. How are you today?
I'm good. We have Zioli Show News. We're up to 79 degrees, and we, yes, are in the midst of a heat wave. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and we have news brought to you by Hint Water. So testimony continuing today before a federal judge in a lawsuit that will actually determine whether or not a safe injection site will be opened in Philadelphia. So Safe House board member and friend of the Zioli Show, Ed Rendell, former mayor of Philadelphia and governor of PA, says, hey, it's a way to combat the opioid crisis and actually saves lives. But U.S. Attorney William McSwain filing the suit against the nonprofit Safe House, which plans to open a center which, among other things, would host a room where addicts could actually shoot up illegal drugs under medical observation. So we'll continue to watch that one. A New Jersey woman was arrested and charged after police say she left her three young children alone for 2 hours in a hot car while she
gambled.
That's
not good. I don't approve of that. That is different. That is so different than running into Target with the car running and the air conditioning on.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours in a hot car while she was gambling. That woman is a derelict.
Well, this woman is Melody Borda. She's from Union County, New Jersey. So she was in Bethlehem at the casino, according to police. Cops were called. The kids, ages 8, 3, and 11 months, were in a car. Police say surveillance cameras. That's the thing. Surveillance cameras, whether it's 10 minutes in the Target or 2 hours in the casino.
They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing.
So kidsandcar.org reports a record number of hot car deaths last year. Record number in 21
first
years.
First of all, I don't agree with leaving kids in a hot car.
Children,
you can't
died.
Equate this. Come on, this is crazy.
Consumer Reports testing, this is all my ammo that I've been Consumer Reports testing show that even when it is 61 degrees outside, the temperature inside a closed car can reach more than 105 degrees.
Which is why you should never leave kids in a car without the air conditioning on.
I don't think there's any
Nobody
consumer advocate
thinks that's okay. No one
it's a
thinks.
Good idea.
There's not a single person out there that thinks, oh, you're just a snowflake. Suck it up in the hot car with the windows up and the air conditioning off. Nobody thinks that. Only degenerates think that way. That's different than I'm running into Wawa to get milk. The air conditioning's on. Stay in your seat.
Yeah, but if you run into Wawa to get milk or you
right.
run into Target.
And the kid turns
not,
the car off because he wants to be
minutes.
In the hot car.
No, it's not two. It's never 2 minutes.
I just love
it's
how you're
10
equating.
To 15.
I just love how you're equating the two like they're similar. Like running into to go gamble with the kids in the hot car without the air conditioning is the same. I think it's great.
It's just never a good idea.
Right.
Just take
never.
Your kid with you. But not into the casino.
Also not a good idea.
New Jersey residents will soon be able to rent solar rooftop systems from Tesla. So the electric car company says it's trying to spark its solar panel business by offering residents of only six states. So New Jersey is one of six, and Pennsylvania, Delaware not included in this. It's California, Arizona, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Mexico. So for about $50 a month, you can rent the solar panels.
Really?
Yeah. It's not too
bad.
$50.
Because it's a very expensive to put them on your house, right?
I think the initial investment is, but then you can even sell back the power. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Nice.
I'm told. There is new research. This is so gross. By underwear maker Tommy John's. It finds that 45% of Americans say they don't change their underwear daily. 13% even confess to wearing the same pair of pants for an entire week.
Really?
Underwear for 45% of people wearing the same underwear.
As long as you turn it inside out, it's fine.
That's so gross. It's so nasty.
Like guys have never done that before. Laundry day's tomorrow? That's all right. I'll just turn it inside out. That'll be fine.
And that's it. Men were found to admit that they do this more than women.
Absolutely they do. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
That is just, don't do that.
I agree. Not in the summer anyway.
Yeah.
The winter's one thing.
No. I was speaking of summer, it's hot. Definitely change your underwear like twice a day during this heat. So it's a heat wave.
Because why? You could get what? Some sort of bacteria.
You could
get a rash.
And it could turn,
which could
spread, get infected.
Gangrene.
It could be
then
trouble.
You could die. So,
we do it. Seriously, we have heat advisories.
Also, you got
be
to
safe.
Wash the underwear before you put them on.
Yes.
If you take them out of the package, what could happen?
Well, they're loaded with, all kinds of who knows, pesticides and chemicals, especially, seriously.
Up against your skin?
Up against your skin.
Next thing you know, your schwanz is falling
see?
Off.
Could right. have some big trouble. Foreign countries don't have the regulations we have.
Right.
Seriously, they have like all kinds of chemicals on their clothes.
So if you ever, I know a guy once opened up a pair of socks, put them on his feet, had to get his feet removed. Seriously. You better wash those things first. By the way, I never do that. I never wash socks or underwear, ever. I put them right on. I'm going to wash them eventually. I'm not washing them first. They're not dirty yet.
Just throw it in the dryer with a dryer sheet. At least it'll, like, you know, slough off any
buddy
chemicals
of mine,
or germs.
True story, Greg. Buddy of mine went to Target, bought boxers, didn't wash them, put them on. He's now a half man. They had to amputate.
Very sad.
From the waist below.
I think I heard that story.
Very sad.
They feel so good when you put them on right out of the package.
Right out of the package, yeah, I know. Well, nice, it felt good until they have to then amputate half your body.
Amputate, yeah.
So, terrible.
Sad. So sad.
Ironically, he washed his socks, so the feet were fine, but they couldn't reconnect. It was a terrible thing.
So sad.
Terrible
it's
thing.
It's a sin.
I know.
Eyewitness weather, so we have a heat advisory. It's hot. It's 92 today, 93 tomorrow, 92 Thursday. The high reaches that midday because then an afternoon storm is going to cool things off. 77 showers on Friday. Let's talk about Hint Water, pure, still, or sparkling water infused with fruit essences, watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. Dawn's with Yoli Show News, always on the radio.com app and always.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So Barron's had a great piece today, or actually a couple days ago. It's all about the economy and how your spending matters more than anything with regards to a recession. So the headline is, a recession seems unlikely when consumer spending is this strong. Now, this is the key, right? If you spend money, if we as consumers spend money, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. The U.S. yield curve may be signaling recession, they write, but the latest data on American consumer spending at retailers, bars, and restaurants suggest the economy is still running strong. This is from August 14th. Overall spending, excluding gas stations, rose by 0.6% on a seasonally adjusted basis between June and July. Biggest month gain in a year. Average spending in the May-July quarter was 1.8% higher than the February-April period. Since the start of the year, spending outside of gasoline stations is up about 3.3% compared to the first 7 months of 2018. The data looks even better when excluding spending at motor vehicle and parts stores, building materials and supply stores, and furniture stores. After an exceptionally weak start to the year, core retail spending is now growing at the fastest rate since 1992. Consumption is back on the previous trend. Now, this is why you keep hearing in the media over and over and over again that we are having a recession coming, because it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. If I keep telling you a recession's coming, you're going to stop spending money. And the way we get a recession is if you stop spending money. You see? CNBC had an article. They pointed out the fact that the United States, even though there's a global recession happening, the strength of the consumer in this country spending money is what keeps our economy from going into recession. So how do you counter that? If you want a recession, because you know it's the only chance you have to defeat the president, especially with this crop of idiots that are running. So if you want a recession to happen, what do? You keep warning about a recession, hoping that people will then go, well, you know what? Maybe we'll hold off on buying that vacation. We'll go on that vacation. And maybe we'll hold off on buying, doing the fence, whatever it is, right? Recession, I don't know. I'm worried. I'll see what happens. And then next thing you know, consumer spending slows. Montage of media yesterday, the morning news networks all seem to be rooting for a recession, touting Democrats now seizing the moment Cut one.
Pushing back, President Trump downplays fears the economy is on the slide.
President Trump is attempting to downplay growing concerns that the U.S. economy could be headed for a recession.
Even in the face of some economic warning signs, the president and his top aides are now brushing off fears of a recession down the road.
Recession and re-election. President Trump insisting he has no concerns about the economy after that 800-point plunge, as his 2020 opponents fire back, saying the president is terrible for business.
President Trump and his economic team are trying to tamp down talk of a possible recession after a volatile week on Wall Street.
Presidents get the credit when the economy's good. They get the blame when the economy's bad. And right now, with some signs of economic weakness and the markets growing anxious, President Trump is playing defense.
Last week, the Dow plunged 800 points in one day, the biggest single-day drop of the year as investors forecast concerns with the global economy. The White House is now working to project calm.
Calm. Calm. So there you go. All right. So you see how this works, right? If you believe there's going to be a recession, then you stop spending and then there's a recession. The Barron's article is very, very important. The main areas of weakness are in non-core categories. But the housing market has been down, but now it's starting to recover thanks to a large drop in the mortgage interest rates. The data is consistent. The data are consistent with healthy American consumers rather than an imminent recession. And the August data will be published September 13th. So you got to psych people into thinking that one's coming. It's how that's the way you do it. And why is this happening? Because you have people there. At least Bill Maher's honest. He's rooting for a recession. He's not pretending that he's not. He's out there rooting for it. He knows he wants one. He thinks it's the only way the president can be defeated. He's not wrong on that. I mean, if there's anything that would hurt the president's reelection chances, it's the economy, like it would hurt any other incumbent reelection chances. Bill Maher had said he wanted a recession. He's standing by it. He's doubling down. Cut seven.
All right, Josh, isn't the Fed cutting rates now just going to make the next economic downturn worse? What's your prediction? I've been hoping for a recession. People hate me for it, but yeah, it would get rid of Trump, so you shouldn't hate me for it.
I mean, recessions are really bad. People lose their jobs and their homes. I know. And we shouldn't wish
it's worth it.
But I mean, a recession's always possible. I don't see any particular reason to think that it's likely. I think, you know,
really?
That,
aren't we overdue for one just
no,
by the cycle of economics?
This is such a misconception. People sort of feel like, oh, you know, well, about every 8 years or something, you're supposed to have it. Recessions don't come because they're due. Recessions come because there's some sort of overheating. Something goes wrong in the economy.
See, something goes wrong in the economy, or people just stop spending money. See, now over at the MSNBC, for example, now they believe a recession's okay. It's good for you. It's normal. It's okay. It's fun. Hey, little recession, little fun in the sun. Cut four.
Is the president right when he says a recession's not on the way?
He is not right, but a recession is okay. A recession is a normal part of economic activity. We see them upturns and downturn. A recession doesn't mean it's a crisis. But if you're a sitting president, you don't necessarily want a recession on your watch. You want people feeling good. We have been in economic expansion for the better part of 10 years. It's about time we get a recession. But the fact that the Fed has already cut rates to try to extend this economic expansion, you think that would breathe more life into it? And just remember, one of the reasons the economy has extended in positive growth for this long is the massive corporate tax cut that the president gave us a year and a half ago. He said that would result in GDP boom in business investment, 3-5% growth. We're at 2.1%. That's the average. So when the president says this is the best economy ever, it's not. And if we did face a recession, it would be normal and it would be okay.
You're okay, little recession. Come here and cuddle. No,
it would be normal and it would be okay.
It would not be normal and it wouldn't be okay, but you're rooting for it because you know it would be politically tough. But that's the way you get one, is you Jedi mind trick everybody into thinking one's coming. Because our whole life we've been programmed to believe that in a recession you should save your money and stop spending money, which then triggers a recession. It's why the government takes efforts to get money, people start spending money again, whether it's by giving people tax credits or giving them a incentive money, giving them certain incentives to buy things. Every time there's a recession, the government's main goal is what? To stimulate consumer spending. Because the way you get to a recession is by not spending. That's why the media, day in, day out, keeps saying the same message over and over and over again. All right. I'm telling you, I know this stuff because it's what I've long said to you. It's the secret to the president's reelection victory is a strong economy. And they know this. And Bill Maher at least is honest about it. He's not pretending. This is him doubling down on the remarks that he made about a recession. I give him credit for just saying what everybody else in the media is doing, but at least he's owning it.
So I've been saying for about 2 years that I hope we have a recession. And people get mad at me as Sean Hannity thinks I'm actually causing a recession. I do not have this power, but he seems to be wanting to blame it on me like I'm a genie. I can make it happen. I'm just saying we can survive a recession. We've had 47 of them. Yeah. We've had one every time there's a Republican president. They don't last forever. You know what lasts forever? Wiping out species.
And then
people.
He goes on about how all the things that Trump is doing, which is way worse. So that's why he wants one. At least, again, being honest. We're going to talk to author Kim Brooks in just a moment about how we've ruined childhood by being so afraid of everything.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right. So the book, which actually my wife just started reading, as a matter of fact, Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. I want to welcome Kim Brooks to the show. Kim, good morning. Oops. Hit the wrong one. I don't know. Maybe if we can get her back.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure about that.
Yes.
And I'll share with you as we wait for her little bit of her New York Times piece. We have ruined childhood for youngsters these days. An hour of free play is like a drop of water in the desert. Of course, they're miserable. She says, according to psychologist Peter Gray, children today are more depressed than they were during the Great Depression, more anxious than they were at the height of the Cold War. A 2019 study published in the journal Abnormal Psychology found that between 2009 and 2017, rates of depression rose by more than 60% among those ages 14 to 17 and 47% among ages 12 to 13. She writes, this isn't just a matter of increased diagnosis. The number of children and teenagers who were seen in emergency rooms with suicidal thoughts or having attempted suicide doubled between 2007 and 2015. To put it simply, the kids are all right. Joining me now, Kim Brooks, the author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
So the kids are not okay, huh?
Well, that seems to be the case, yes, based on my my research and what I've been writing about recently, yes.
So what is it? Is it all of the overbearing anxiety we're giving kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is, I don't like to blame parents. I am a parent, and I don't think it's their fault. I think it's sort of the way we do childhood now, which is in a very overstructured, institutionalized way. Kids have less free time, they have less time to play, they have less time to sort of do things independently, to form friendships on their own, to form relationships, and I think that's taking a toll.
Is a lot of that because kids are so obsessed, or we're so obsessed with getting our kids into, say, the best college, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of anxiety around that. There's a sense that in a winner-take-all society, you want your kids to be winners. And I think one of the ways that anxiety manifests is this obsession with kind of the college application arms race that starts earlier and earlier. You know, it used to be that, I remember when I was in high school, you know, you started thinking about college like your freshman, maybe your sophomore year of high school. I have two kids now, and I feel like people are already talking about it when they're in first grade.
First grade. Wow, that's crazy. And so you write here, you know, that the days of free play and the days of all that have been replaced by STEM, science. What was that? Science, technology, English, and math, right? STEM?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And then you write, standardized testing, active shooter drills have replaced recess, leisurely lunches, art, and music.
Right. And not that there's anything wrong with STEM and with, you know, studying math and science and reading. Those are all important. But I think a lot of the times it comes at the expense of these other things that are equally important.
And you also talk about how there's not a lot of free play for kids. A lot of recess is gone. Unsupervised play also gone. What happened with that?
It's been on steady decline over the last 30 years. And in the article for the New York Times and in the book Small Animals, I interview people like the psychologist Peter Gray, who writes about how essential play is for children's development. And we sort of adopted this viewpoint that children learn things best when they have an adult hovering over them, teaching them. And actually, that's not what human history and research shows, that if kids need freedom, that play is how children learn. And you know, Dr. Gray writes a lot about the emotional impact of what he calls play deprivation on young people.
You're right, and I agree with this 100%. Kids need recess. They need longer lunches. They need free play, family time, meal time. They need less homework, fewer tests, a greater emphasis on social emotional learning. I agree with all that 100%. It seems like kids now go to school, then they have after school, they got all these activities, then they've got hours of homework they got to do. There's no time for them to bond with their family anymore. It's like family time matters nothing in this day and age.
Yeah, even for people who it does matter for, it's very hard to work in when children are in school so long, and then when there are these expectations about these things that they need to do. I think another piece of it, too, is sort of the way we live in terms of, people being further apart, people living in suburbs, people living in places where, because of sort of a lot of anxiety and irrational fear, we don't let children just go out and play. And even if one parent wants to, the kids don't want to go out and play if they're the only one. So we don't really give them the freedom or the space or the physical places where they could have independent time. Independent time doesn't do you that much good if you're saying, you have to sit in the living room where I can see you. And then I think, people sort of wonder why children want to be on screens all the time. And I mean, I just think, well, what's the alternative? What alternatives are we giving them?
Kim Brooks is the author of Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. You also talk about what happened to you as a mom in the Target parking lot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's sort of the framework for the book, was an incident that happened to me about 6 years ago. I let my son read in the car for about 5 minutes, and I ran into a store on a cold day, the windows open, and someone recorded me doing that and called the police. And there was a lot of fallout that took place over the course of a couple of years, and I write about that in the book. But I think it's indicative of sort of this culture of surveillance and fear, and this idea that we've all adopted that, a child who's not being watched even for 5 minutes is somehow in mortal danger. And if that's our attitude, it's very hard to give kids the kind of basic freedom that they need to grow and thrive.
So your kids weren't in a hot car. They weren't baking to death in the back seat. But what happened? The cops came and they arrested you?
It was a little more drawn out than that. It was a little more complicated. But, I was ultimately charged with a crime, and then the charge was dropped.
They come to the parking lot when you were there, or had you already left?
No, I had already left, and it was days later that I found out that this charge had been pressed.
So the cops did not show up and find the kids in imminent harm or imminent danger. They looked at the video the woman took and then charged you after the fact when the kids were absolutely in a safe place and everything like that.
Right. Me and my son were long gone by the time the cops came. I mean, it was literally just going into a store to grab one item. So there was no, this wasn't a case. I mean, there are these very tragic cases where parents forget that the child is in the car and, the child has heat stroke, and they're terrible, tragic cases, but that was not what was going on here. This was a case of someone just seeing a child perfectly happy, in a cool car for like 5 minutes and assuming that child was being neglected or was in some kind of danger. And the experience, the most profound impact of the experience for me was that it allowed me to start kind of exploring and digging into other women, other parents who had, been through something similar, and to realize that there's been this huge paradigm shift in parenting that, in the course of a generation or two, we've gone from, the assumption that kids are fairly competent, that they can do things on their own, that they can be on their own for a couple minutes. I grew up waiting in the car all the time while my parents, you know, ran into, like, buy carpet or something boring that I didn't want to do. And now we view that kind of behavior as reckless and criminal. So in the book, I explore sort of how did that shift happen and what are the implications.
And there's been parents who've been arrested for letting their kids walk home from school by themselves. I mean, the state of Maryland, for example, had to put a law in place allowing kids as young as 8 years old to be able to walk alone a certain amount of time because parents were getting locked up. There was a case of parents who, I also think it was Maryland again, the kids were playing outside in the backyard and the parents got in trouble for that.
Right. I mean, I have a friend here in a suburb of Chicago who... Corey Wyden, who about a year ago, someone called the police because she was letting her 9-year-old walk the family dog around the apartment complex where she lived. So things are absolutely ridiculous as that.
Yeah, that is nuts. Well, the book is very eye opening. And I definitely am enjoying it very much. Small Animals, Parenthood in the Age of Fear. I'm glad to hear the charges against you were dropped, by the way.
Thank you. Me too.
Kim Brooks, thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Listen, I want to tell you about... I'm good. Actually, I'm good. So we'll just get your reaction to this. Dawn, I know there was a lot you liked in that. I know there was. Come on, homework.
Don't
We've talked
leave
about
your
that.
Kids in the car.
It's homework. No more homework. We've talked about that, right?
Yes, I agree with
more
that.
More time for family.
More time for family.
Science, technology, engineering, and math. Thank you for the 700 corrections I got on that.
My kids like STEM.
Your kids like STEM?
Yeah, they like the STEM
stuff.
The
overwhelming how kids feel so competitive, like they got to get into the best school or their life's going to be ruined, right?
Yeah.
A little too much of that? A little too much? No?
Depends on the kid.
And the idea that you can't leave the kid anywhere alone ever, 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 anywhere.
I didn't say that, but just don't leave them in the car, especially when they're 4, like hers was.
All right, okay. All right. 855-839-1210. The Zioli Show coming right back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.